For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea. Goldberg's not with us today. He's grabbing his Cobra from Expel, so we'll get into that next week. But we do have an exciting guest this week. My good friend, Dr. Jamie Meyer, is going to be with us. But before we get started, let me tell you guys about Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball and golf to soccer to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with over 150 different slot games. Just head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus off your first deposit. That's BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V. Bet Online, the game starts here. I'd like to welcome back to the show, Dr. Jamie Meyer. It's been a minute since you've been on. Have we only recorded shows like from the SEMA show, or have you been into the studio back at Corolla Studio?
No. Remember, we go way back when you were really roughing it and you just had a recorder and we just made magic happen. Look at you now.
Yeah. Although 15 years of podcasting, I still show up the SEMA show with just a recorder and just do it that way. The technology hasn't really changed that much, surprisingly. Dr. Jamie Meyer, we go back a long time since before I was doing podcasting, probably go back about 17 years. And I somehow snuck it into my first SEMA show and just kind of went around and try to introduce myself to people in the aftermarket space. And it was nice to see the show and meet a bunch of people. And I remember walking into the GM Performance Parts booth at the time, right?
Yeah, that's been a while.
And I just said, I walked up to the desk with the nice people there and said, "Who's the boss here?" And they all said, "Oh, that guy right over there." And I said, "All right, I'd like to meet him, please."
Those were a bunch of jokers.
I don't know. I think I just walked up and I was like, "Hi, my name is Matt. I never been in this industry and I'm getting into it. This is what I want to do." And you're like, "All right, let's talk." Yeah. and pick your brain on a bunch of advice and met a bunch of others in the space. You guys like from Holly, from Bill Tishner and Chris Douglas and largely because of you. So I appreciate that. You started my love affair with the automotive aftermarket, certainly on the business side of it. We've been playing around with cars and parts since we were born. It seems like that's everybody's story that is an enthusiast. But you've gone on from GM Performance Parts to a number of other companies, most recently Roadster Shop, Aeromotive Group, putting that new roll-up group of these companies together. And you were president of PRI,
right,
for a couple of years. And that's kind of what we're getting into for a second. Now, PRI, for example, we've talked about the SEMA show a bunch of times on the show over the years, but explain a little bit about what PRI is first.
So PRI was an offshoot from the industry, a trade show started by Steve Lewis in 1986 to really focus on hardcore racing. It bounced around a little bit, ended up in Indianapolis, Moved to Orlando for a decade, and then in 2012, under the direction of Scooter Brothers, who was chairman of the board at SEMA, SEMA purchased PRI and a competing show in Indianapolis called IMIS, and put it all under the SEMA umbrella. And it's served a wonderful purpose in the racing industry, largely what you described with our relationship, to help build that community and bring people together and develop the business of racing. And it was quite an honor to run that ship from 2020 through 2023. And I'm really proud of the work that the team did at PRI. I remember we went through a pandemic. We had to shut all the shows down. We took it on the road and kept meeting people and kept talking to people and asking them what they're doing with their business and kept connecting people. You know, much like what you've done through your career is develop that community. And, you know, much like the way PRI was formed, there's a new entity that has come about to help bring that community together, the automotive aftermarket, and that's the High Performance Expo. And that's what you and I are going to talk about today, I think.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get into it. Certainly one of the things that you were championing at PRI was getting the enthusiasts, getting the community involved more and not have just like SEMA and PRI be just a trade show. There's an important business aspect of it being a trade show, but how can enthusiasts get more involved with it and opening up memberships to that and stuff? So I think kind of this is the direction of where you're going with HPX, a new type of show, if you will. I don't even want to call it a trade show. It's something much more than that.
No, it's a really interesting entity, and the parallels are there. But while I was with private equity at Aeromotive and the Roadster shop, I was approached by a company called Taffy Events. And Taffy Events is owned by Jen Hoff, and then their president is Jennifer Hoff. And they have spent decades in the trade show industry producing hundreds of trade shows, right? So they're experts at bringing people together, growing businesses, connecting people, connecting communities. And I learned a great deal from them. And they started talking about some of the underserved areas in the United States and internationally for the auto industry and the automotive aftermarket space. And you're part of this industry, so you know auto manufacturers have pulled away a little bit from the traditional auto show. And there are certain areas of the country and certain segments that are still looking for a great trade show or event or expo that can bring them together where they can share best practices and really grow. And they started taking a look at what is offered by the auto industry right now and realized that while the East Coast of the United States, especially the Southeast and Northeast, and even parts of the Midwest and down into Texas, are really underserved by this community type approach. So they ran with the concept. They needed a community to really rally around. And that's where the North Carolina Motorsports Association comes into this story of development. NCMA is run by David Miller. He's their executive director. I've come to really admire how David brings people together and that connectivity that, you know, you got a break here or there throughout your career, and NCMA does that for the North Carolina region and Charlotte specifically. So NCMA is made up of a group of really interesting people. The current chair is Greg Walter, who's the president of the Charlotte Motor Speedway, and ZMAX, two of the greatest motorsports facilities on the face of the planet. Greg Fernelli is the current past chair. He runs, of many companies, SRI and Stock Car Steel. So you can tell he's really deep into the NASCAR community. And their vice chair, the chair-elect, is Scott Lampe, who's the CFO of the Hendrick organization, Hendrick Racing and Rick Hendrick. And Rick Hendrick and Richard Petty had started NCMA, just to give you some real solid roots of what type of an organization we're talking about. So you've got this combination of this amazingly talented trade show production company, event production company called Taffy, and then NCMA that has always wanted to do this type of an industry event in the Charlotte area to help grow their interests in their area. And that's what's really put a lot of spark into the High Performance Expo and this concept of what we'll be running in June of 2025.
Okay. What do you envision the experience going to be like? What is the floor going to look like? Like, is it, you know, is it going to be more like a PRI? Is it going to be a combination of, you know, pageantry and stuff in the parking lot and drifting? Is it kind of Barrett Jackson and PRI and SEMA and, or like, what's your vision of this? You and the team behind you.
So what's so fun is it's organic, right? And it's grown up from the industry for the industry. And it's a chance for us to develop exactly what folks are looking for. So it's going to feel real familiar, but the industry specifically wants those hardcore trade show days. They want to approach enthusiasts separately. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at the Charlotte Convention Center will largely be for those B2B interactions, a chance for you as a media member to go right to a manufacturer and start talking hardcore business, where people can really be focused on that. As you transition out into Charlotte, Thursday, the show will close downtown and will transition out to the Charlotte Motor Speedway in that Concord area. And you'll have those types of fun activities. So that's still in development, and it'll be something that we can talk about hopefully in the next 30 days. But yeah, you can imagine there's going to be drag racing. There's going to be car shows. There's circle tracks all over Charlotte. So we might sling a little dirt, but it's going to be fun and exciting for enthusiasts. And again, the industry's transitioning. A lot of manufacturers who have always relied on their partners to distribute their parts, that's still there, but they've realized through the pandemic and subsequent events, they want a better handle on their direct-to-consumer activities. So some of them are very good at that, and you know who they are, and they've got rig programs, and they're out at the car shows that you go to. Some of them are still learning those best practices. So it's a great chance for them to see it live and see how some of their industry partners and friends do it best. So very hardcore B2B, and then fun with enthusiasts on the weekend. It's going to be a great week in Charlotte.
So let's talk about the B2B side, for example. Is there a membership? Do you have to become part of a trade organization, or can any automotive aftermarket company apply and try to get a presence there, get a booth there? What's going to be the process for people that want to exhibit?
Yeah. That's a really good question. So there's no membership requirement. There's no High Performance Expo membership. It's a traditional show or event for the business-minded exhibitor. So you can contact our offices and you can pick out a spot on the floor right now that many folks have done. I think this is really interesting for you. We're getting a lot of companies that have never exhibited at the traditional trade shows. And what we're finding is they're well-known, they're traditionally East Coast located, and they're realizing this is a much more affordable show for them. You know, really getting into it, it's gonna be more affordable to move in and move out in Charlotte than the traditional trade shows. And obviously if you're located on the East Coast, this thing makes total sense. So no membership and super easy. Now, we certainly are going to vet the buyers and sellers, right? Trade show operators always have companies that approach them that are a little bit on the fringe. You know, think about like recliners at the state fair, or those, you know, the guys that polish the soda cans at the state fair. Some of those folks won't be let in. And then also on the buyer side, the people that you let in to see the exhibitors, they will be heavily vetted. We'll make sure that they run a speed shop or they run a repair shop and they're truly in the industry. So that's the promise. Yeah. We'll put together a really high quality crowd on the days of the show floor.
And that's important. And we don't talk about that much being more of a, you know, consumer oriented podcast, but on the business side, you know, a lot of what people sort of count on, of course, when they're at a show like SEMA, for example, is they're counting on the SEMA organization to bring in buyers or whatever connections that the exhibitors are looking for and to vet them. It's kind of like, you know, going to Monterey and going to one of the big auctions, RM or Gooding. You expect some vetting, some accountability. You want to know that the cars are authenticated and you're buying something that is worth the, you know, the price of that car. So as otherwise we'd just all be on Bring a Trailer or Marketplace all the time buying, throwing money around and getting duped. So I think that's an important process, is ensuring that you have great exhibitors. And most importantly, you have great buyers and people to interact with those exhibitors. One of the questions I wanted to ask you about is just kind of get your thoughts on this in general is, again, I keep comparing it to SEMA because it's been around for so long and we've all been there a million times. But the idea of SEMA saying, hey, we're going to do a trade show for 3 days and then we're going to have tickets available now sold to the public. So the public can experience what we've all seen for years, you know, for a number of hours on a Friday afternoon. However, in speaking with a lot of those exhibitors, sort of objectively, because I don't have a stake in the game, you know, financially, I'm just a content creator here. A lot of the exhibitors would say, it's not a bad idea, but my trade show booth would be different than what my consumer show booth would be. So some of them go, it's fun, I like to meet people, but the others go, it's a waste of time because I don't have the right materials, I don't have the right booth, I don't have the right staff people, you know, like whatever. I don't bring in salespeople, I bring in executives or I bring in engineers. Like, it's not quite the same. And then also, I was always kind of thinking like, well, if you're going to bring the public in, can you add a commerce portion to it? You know, can you say, you know, hey, if the public's coming in, then can we sell parts out of our booth? Can we make back a little bit of our money that we've spent on this massive booth and the lottery system and all the complexities of getting a booth at the trade shows? So just kind of some thoughts on that is how do you handle business and consumers, and does it make sense? Maybe not right away, but are you exploring the idea of having those exhibitors being able to sell products? Even if they say, buy whatever you want, but we'll mail it to you, you know, or take what's here on the show floor. You know, it's Barrett Jackson, right? It's the last Sunday of Barrett Jackson where people are like, everything in the booth is 50% off because I don't want to haul all that crap home, right? So, you know, so yeah. I don't know, just thoughts like that, because you've been to all of these events. You and I have been to every single event. And like the Barrett Jacksons and the SEMAs of the world, you understand, you've been on both sides of it. You've run a trade organization like PRI and you've had booths at these events. So you better than anybody kind of knows what exhibitors and consumers would want.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think I can feel my blood pressure going up as you're kind of describing this, you know, but like, this is a challenge for anyone that runs a show like this. I think the best way to answer is I'll share a story with my friend Scott Gendicki from Lubbock, Texas. And you know, they're one of the top Chevrolet performance crate engine dealers. They may be number one, and they do Ford and they do Mopar. They touch all sorts of aspects of the industry. But Nikki Fowler, who's been the principal at Scott Gendicki, was one of the first people that wanted to talk to us about the High Performance Expo.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because he wants to be there for the business days. So Nikki will come in Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
He's got manufacturers, he's got distributors, he's got media people like you that he wants to see and talk shop with. But he's also very excited about the weekend because Charlotte's just a great area for car people, and everybody in the industry knows that. But they're car people on a really high level, right? They're fabricators for NASCAR teams. They run their own companies, right? They're engineers. But Scott Gendicki has a trailer And Keith Wilson runs that, and they've staffed it with experts in the industry. So they'll place the trailer at the consumer events, and that's where they'll sell product and merch. And that's where those folks are trained in the skill set you described to really interact with that crowd and maximize that interaction. So we're getting both of that. We're getting people that want to do just the days on the floor for B2B interaction at the High Performance Expo. Some of them just want to be sponsors. They want to be main sponsors. They want key roles in the consumer days because that's what they do well. That's their ROI measurement, right? How many leads do they get? How many t-shirts do they give away? Those things that we use to measure the engagement of the audience. And then obviously, how much product can they sell? And then we've got companies that want to do both, right? So we've got three or four dozen companies that are signing up on the floor, but then they're waiting to see what our run of show looks like on Friday and Saturday. And they'll take advantage of all of those activities given their own specific needs. So
yeah,
I hope that answers your question, but yeah, that is a real concern. You want to make sure you have a balance on the floor and on the weekend.
Yeah. I like when you say it out loud and you go, oh, we have this really wild, successful trade show, for example. So we should start getting consumers more involved. And then you realize how complex that really is and how sensitive of a subject it is to the exhibitors and the B2B side of it. And because they've committed a lot of time and energy and money into having the right presence at those trade shows. And the ones that have been doing it for years count on their experience and they know what to expect. So when they pitch to their bosses and go, we're going to do this trade show, it's going to cost this much. But for the last 30 years, we've figured out how to get our ROI on that, right? How do we get our return on that? So it's new. This is all going to be kind of new.
And you have to respect it, right? If a consumer may not realize that the floor of a traditional trade show, each manufacturer is gambling hundreds of thousands of dollars that they will get that return on investment for being involved in that show. So that's top of mind for the High Performance Expo. And what's exciting is Taffy's bringing a new level of technology from what I've been exposed to, right? So they're looking at different segments. They're studying the segments. They're looking at what they're interested in. I will tell you, one of the segments that they identified as one of the key targets for the High Performance Expo really likes Adam Carolla. Can you believe that?
It kind of makes sense. Now, Adam, by the way, it was just announced a couple of days ago. He's going to get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. So we're very excited about that.
Yeah.
He and I were out the other night or just last night and
congratulations.
Yeah. It's pretty loving. Exciting. Cool. I'm going to be up at Monterey. It's going to be racing some cars. So this seems like a great event to go to. And it'd be fun to even bring some cars out to this event. And certainly as we hear more information about how this is going to come together. And like you said, the different activities are going to be able to go in there, hitting the track, car shows, of course, the trade show, the B2B side of it. This is a huge undertaking. And I've just got to ask you, why take this on?
Thanks. I mean, I'm part of a big team, right? Understand. Like it's because of our relationship that we get to talk about the High Performance Expo. But Taffy has a huge organization built around producing the show, the traditional, what I would say, trade show production side of Taffy. But they also have a designated communications team, PR team out of Detroit that you've interacted with. There's an entire marketing team out of Detroit that's well-versed in the auto industry. And then the sales staff, which some of them have come from the automotive aftermarket with a relationship already in these segments, but also some of their other sales team. So understand, I get to help out and position the industry as best I can. This is really my personal goal here is to give more opportunities to folks like us, right? The more interactions that people like you and I have, the more chance we have to do business, and the more people get to play with cars instead of doing other pastimes. And I know you are very passionate about the space like I am, and we want to share that love of cars and doing cool stuff with cars. So that's what I'm in it for.
I agree with that, because you know, here on CarCast, the listeners of the show know that, you know, Goldberg and I do a show. We talk a lot about our car projects, the aftermarket, the fun stuff. And I enjoy doing the show with our partnership with Edmunds as well, with Alistair Weber. He's great. He's been in the space for a long time. And that focuses a little bit more on the new car space. And recently, you know, the past couple of years, it's been such a conversation about EVs and you know, well, so we get to get into vehicle testing and stuff, but it certainly seems like the media outside of our industry, outside the enthusiast side of it, the media has leaned in so much into essentially punishing enthusiasts, it feels like, for just enjoying something that we've been doing for a long time. And it doesn't have to be that way. And I think they're kind of missing out. Their eyes are not open to the size and scope of the automotive enthusiast industry. And I think events like HPX are going to help show that and embrace it. And we're seeing some backtracking, you know, as much as, you know, the government, if you will, pushes on the car companies. We do have a handful of car companies that do as best they can to make responsible decisions, but not forget about the roots and the enthusiasts that are buying their cars. I mean, certainly, you know, companies like what Porsche is doing and what Ford's doing, you know, what Jim Farley's doing. I mean, every time I see that guy, he's had a race with us. So I don't know what he runs the company. I mean, I think he's doing a good job over there, but he likes to race. And I kind of like seeing in instances like that, having a real automotive enthusiast head up an automotive company. So what you're talking about at HPX, having such enthusiasts like yourself and the team that you mentioned run something like this, as opposed to a bunch of accountants. Like, I understand this is a business and there's money to be made, but if the only goal is, can we make money off of this? I don't think it's going to turn out to be a great event. It has to be much more than that.
No. I mean, there's a lot there, right? First of all, the Jim Farleys and the Mary Barras of the world have very tough jobs.
Absolutely. Right?
Because you're trying, it takes something like 5 to 7 years to develop a new car program.
Yeah.
And you're trying to guess what the market's going to look like 2 presidential administrations into the future, right? So it's a really tough job. And obviously in Detroit, where I'm at, the talk about EV and now the transition to hybrid and what the right volume mix is of each platform, that's what we talk about at the diners on the weekends. That's all anybody wants to talk about, because it's a real mystery. But High Performance Expo is interesting because I'm getting a ton of interest from new vehicle manufacturers. And it's not just the Hendrick Group and all the rooftops they have, but we've reached out, and subsequently other companies have found us, and they're looking for, what does that future show look like where auto enthusiasts are sampling their latest products? It's what you do, right? It's the service you provide for us who listen to your experience. But new car manufacturers want to get people back into these cars. So you can imagine some of those weekend events at HPX, you're going to be able to drive new cars. You're going to be able to see them maybe being tested by folks like you and get real live feedback right on the spot. So those are some of the things we're chasing and putting together. But, you know, I would like you to help us shape what the media looks like at the High Performance Expo. What could we do to serve you better? Because I think the media is one of the underserved groups in all of this as well, right? The right skill set, the right networking, the right platforms, the right exposure to future sponsorship. you know, what can we do to help the media come along and evolve as the auto industry does? So those are some of the things you can jump in, buddy, and take over whenever you want to. So
and, you know, and I appreciate that, and I do think that's an important component to it, and I appreciate you thinking about that. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thinking about all the different aspects of putting on an event like this is not easy. And thinking about what the media would want, other than just sending out a bunch of invitations, going, we're going to put on the greatest show on earth. You're part of the media, come out to it. But you're right. To ask a couple of questions and go, what can we do to help you here? I think is really, really generous. And I think it is smart. And I don't see myself as a journalist. I think myself as automotive entertainment. And I think for that reason, you know, we kind of say what we want and do what we want and produce the content that we want. But yes, certainly the media side of things and the content creation side of things has evolved so much in the last handful of years that, yeah, that should definitely be taken into consideration. Because I think it could, you know, maybe a small portion, but an important portion of what you guys are going to be doing out there.
I mean, there's a couple things that come to mind, right? Like I was just exposed to the NASCAR production facility in Concord, North Carolina, which I didn't realize how much of the NASCAR broadcast is produced remotely in Concord.
Okay.
And,
yeah,
you know, for someone like you to see what they're doing with green screens and people that are remotely covering the show or the race, right? Back to your entertainment position, that might be super valuable. It might allow you to think about how do you expand this podcast and you take it to different platforms that you never really thought it could go. The other part about it is just exposing folks like you to what goes on in NASCAR and just look behind the scenes a little bit at what does it take. I was just in the Roush Yates facility where they build the cup engines and, you know, 100 engines a week go out the door and are serviced. And, yeah. It's like an operating room in there. So, you know, those types of things, those experiences for you, there's a lot that Charlotte and the High Performance Expo has to offer you.
I'm looking forward to it for sure. I got to ask this though. You guys are going to be at the track, maybe some sort of road course and drag racing will be on the menu. Is there an opportunity to embrace the vintage racing side of things? Because that's the part that I feel like, you know, like we have Monterey Car Week and Goodwood in the UK and a handful of vintage races. And all of those guys are heavy into the racing side of the cars they're building and restoring and the stories behind a lot of those cars. You know, the Rolex Historics at Monterey Car Week, thousands of cars apply to race over that week time. And I believe they only pick about 550 cars across the gamut from pre-war all the way up to a handful of kind of modern-ish cars up there. And it's the best of those cars. And they're all curated by, you know, the officials who put that organization on. But yeah, you know, I've taken guys like Adam Carolla to the SEMA show a bunch of times. And as much as he loves to explore the aftermarket side of it, he does kind of walk around that show and says to himself, where is the vintage racing parts? Like, who's doing it? And I go, even if some of these manufacturers make parts for those cars, they're not there showing those parts off because they're mostly showing what they think is the audience. And if you guys have an opportunity to invite and build the audience from scratch, maybe a thought about the vintage racing guys. And I know a handful of them would love to go out there and bring their cars and show off on the track a little bit, especially the cars that don't qualify for Monterey, that they don't get an opportunity to stretch their legs with.
So look, I love it. That's my first reaction. I think these are the opportunities, right? Like, you see a segment that's underserved. Okay, I know you're right because you study this. So now what can HPX do to help, right? So can we get a sponsor to get involved? We certainly can get track time. Mm-hmm. You can help us organize it. And now you have an event within the High Performance Expo. Like, I'm super interested in pursuing those types of ideas with people like you in the industry that say, man, this is what I would like to see come together. This segment needs more attention. And that's the opportunity at hand. So, I mean, I know Tony at SVRA quite well.
Yeah.
I know that organization just changed hands and they're probably looking to expand and get that brand and get that product in front of more folks. It's perfect for the High Performance Expo. So I made a note and you and I are going to get on a call with Tony and I'm going to bring in your muscle and we'll see what we can do. That's a great idea.
Happy to do it. I think it would be interesting to at least see a little bit of a component there, even if it'd be great if it was on the track or at least an opportunity to get on the track with some of those cars. But there's some really incredible cars that, that can be on display. And if you think about, you know, not just like Pebble Beach, for example, but the racing cars that are on display during that Monterey Car Week or Amelia or, you know, in events like that. We've got over a dozen Paul Newman vintage racing cars. Wouldn't mind showing off a few of those over at HPX.
I think about it in the context of a larger event going on, right? And it's like, wow, you see the contrast and you see the evolution and it's got this great story element to it. So really cool. Yeah, neat.
Yeah, I think it would be fun for sure. So you guys got your hands full and let's talk about the event itself. It's going to come up about a year from now, right? It's going to be next June, the beginning of June, June 3rd through the 5th is what it's planned for so far. You can go to the website, thehpx.com, and you can sign up. You can get updates on it and kind of just stay in the loop. I got to be honest with you. Do you think this is enough time? I mean, a year doesn't, like, it sounds like a long time, but not with what you're trying to do.
Yeah, it's you know, a guy like you that's been around this realizes all the components that have to come together. And we certainly are going to be ready when the curtain goes up. But these little elements and these little touches, that's what needs the time. And June will get here real quickly. But we're looking forward to it. I think it's this community. They are really excited to show off what Charlotte and the East Coast is all about. And there's a lot of pride, right? NASCAR's on the upswing. They're investing heavily in their organization, trying to get that product out there. But HPX will be such a good mix, right? NASCAR will be in there strong.
Yeah.
But we'll have all these other segments that you and I love that'll be on display. And, you know, one of the other elements Taffy wants to bring to this is not the big stage presentation, but more of those after hours organic events that the business really gets done.
Yeah.
So think about those little groups coming together in mixers and different locations and having fun with that. that might be something you want to get involved with. If you want to get on the mixer committee, I'm happy to put you on there. So
yeah, it's an interesting thought how to do sort of the surrounding pop-up events where, and honestly, it's like SEMA 10 years ago was a lot of that. It was a lot of, you know, events that kind of popped up that were sort of invitation or sponsored events and things like that. Kind of interesting to think about. Yeah, there's a lot to put in this mixing bowl. Listen, I think you guys got the right team. I think you're the right man for the job. I'm so happy they reached out to you and asked you to at least help and consult and help put this thing together. I'm excited for you guys. Any time I get to see something like this and have you guys that love this industry so much go, let's expand it. Let's continue to grow. Like, what can we do that's new and that's fun and joins different worlds of, you know, different parts of this world? Like we said, like vintage racing with NASCAR and, you know, vintage dragster and modern dragster, like just fun stuff like that, that you don't normally get to see. Certainly you don't get to see that in one place currently that I can think of off the top of my head. But yeah, it should be kind of interesting and fun.
But your involvement, right? Bring Goldberg out. You can produce right from the floor, or we'll also have a full-blown educational program. So if you want to talk about podcasting or developing a community in this industry, I'd love to have you take the stage and educate your peers.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And one way or another, I definitely want to help and I want to participate in
HBX. You're going to be there. It's going to be fun.
All right, Jamie, what else? Is there anything else we need to hit? Anything else you think we're missing? Some information we want to get out there that.
No, you said it right. We'd love to have the community join us on thehpx.com. Just get signed up for an email. We won't be too annoying, but we'll give you critical updates on the show and how you can get involved. And as the week's activities start to become more solid, there's going to be events that people want to be at. They might want to be on the floor. They might want to be at one of these after hours events, or they might just want to go race cars with us on the weekend. And everybody's welcome. That's the most important part.
You know, we've got some time, so definitely let's plan on checking in with you a couple more times between now and the event. Certainly we'll remind everybody more aggressively, as we lead up to the event. But I know you guys are going to be working on some big things and have some big announcements over the course of the next year. So let's definitely touch base on that. Even if you just come in and just jump on, you know, for 10 minutes and explain what it is. We'd love to have you just pop in. So just know that there's an open invitation anytime you want to come
in
here.
Thank you, pal. I appreciate it. It's always fun to spend time with you.
Dr. Jamie Meyer, thanks so much. You got your hands full, but I'll see you soon in a couple of months. If not up in Monterey, I'm sure I'll see you at SEMA and some of the other events.
See you around. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.